In today's healthcare landscape, the quest for accessible and affordable healthcare has always been top of the list. As we navigate a world where technology and healthcare intersect, one critical question keeps coming up. How can we democratize healthcare access for everyone, regardless of their financial situation? With me today is Steve Zinsley from HealthNow. And in this episode, we talk about the evolution of healthcare accessibility, blending traditional healthcare approaches with cutting-edge technology, the role of employers in contributing to their employees' healthcare and its ripple effects on organisational well-being, and the growth of HealthNow as they expand to the Australian market to hopefully make healthcare more inclusive. Collaboration starts with a conversation, Team Health Tech. Let's make it happen.
Welcome to Talking Health Tech, featuring content and community about technology and healthcare. We acknowledge the traditional owners of lands these conversations were recorded and pay respect to elders past and present.
Between now and the end of June, we're conducting the 2024 Talking Health Tech Audience Survey. This helps us prioritize content, hone in key messages, and refine the show to make it even better. We also want to understand who the biggest cohorts of our audience are. So I'd love for you to take 5 or 10 minutes to have your say and complete the survey. Everyone who completes it goes in the draw to win a share of $1,000 worth of THT Plus membership credits to put towards a membership for yourself as an individual or to help get the word out about your company. The link to complete the survey is in the show notes of this episode, or just go to talkinghealthtech.com/survey.
G'day, Steve. How you going?
Good, man. Yeah, good. It's really good to actually catch up in person, obviously, being part of Talking Health Tech now for, I think, we're going to our third year since we spoke, and to now be able to meet in person in such a beautiful location.
It's, right? Yeah, look, it's, here in your backyard. No, well, it's not quite your backyard. Yeah, in beautiful Hamilton, while I'm here to be able to catch up in person and learn about what you've been up to since last time we spoke. For those that aren't familiar, they can go back and get the full story about HealthNow and what you've been up to in New Zealand, Australia, and other parts of the world, but maybe just reset the scene and who you are and what you do.
Yeah, totally. So, just for background, I'm really passionate about making healthcare affordable and accessible. When you think around the inability for people to access healthcare due to cost-related barriers, it's a formidable problem that's experienced by people all around the world. And initially, my background, I was in healthcare, and I thought that I was going to solve that problem by building brick-and-mortar healthcare businesses. Built a multidisciplinary practice here in New Zealand from a couple of sites that we ended up getting to 15 clinics, 120 staff across 6 different healthcare disciplines before then moving into the tech space. And then again, like that kind of learning there was, you know, as a provider, you can only treat so many people with your own hands. So then you employ other people because then through the hands of others, you can treat more. Mm. And then as you look to try and scale that both nationally and internationally, you come to the realization that you need to use existing infrastructure and health providers within the system to then be able to use the hands of others through technology to then again treat more and more people.
Yeah.
So we then went on to build a health-specific buy now, pay later solution, which we called HealthNow. And then that solution went laterally to then build a non-bank deposit-taking function for end users to put funds into in advance. And then we also built an employer-specific solution where employers could pre-fund their employees' health wallets to then be able to allow their employees to access healthcare. Across the course of our journey, we've come to the realization that a couple of those solutions weren't serving our end users in the way that we would have liked to, and obviously macroeconomic factors came into effect. Mm. So we decided to mothball the health-specific buy now, pay later solution and our end user non-bank deposit taking function to put all resource and really focus into our employer-specific product. Where again, employers are able to select a contribution value to put into a health wallet, HealthNow's account, and then subsequently they choose the sectors where those funds can be spent. So they could say, we're going to put in $500, so John can go to the doctor, the dentist, the physio, and then with a HealthNow MasterCard, which is quite a new relationship for us, they can then only allow that MasterCard to be utilized at the service sectors that the employer has agreed to fund at. Which then really simplifies the way that an employer is trying to provide benefits when you start to consider, like, how do you provide a benefit for a large-scale, distributed, diverse team across a wide geography? And it's been fun.
That's really cool. I think about Well, firstly, that makes a lot of sense in terms of the initial approach into healthcare being in more of that buy now, pay later approach, which has definitely got legs in terms of different parts of different industries and ecosystems. But I guess when you look at how healthcare is paid for, you know, around the world, obviously in the US, it's very much, you know, employers are quite involved in that payer process as contributing to insurance or being an integral part of insurance. If you ask me maybe 5 or 10 years ago, you know, in Australia, whether this kind of thing makes sense, I'd be like, oh, that's interesting. Mm. But I think about, you know, the current landscape with Medicare and bulk billing and how much people are looking at how they, like, what they're contributing to their own health. This seems to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, totally. I think to build on that further, right, like if you're an employer looking at your employees, you have to recognize that they're spending the majority of the time that they're awake within your organization, which then means that you are the primary beneficiary of them being healthy. If you're wanting happy, healthy, productive staff, which are less absent, then why would you not contribute to paying for their healthcare?
Yeah.
If we then layer on this competitive employment environment where employers are looking to differentiate their employee value proposition to attract, recruit and retain staff, and then even further to that, the regulatory environment of Australia where directors are somewhat responsible for their staff's health and well-being, hence why you see this massive lift in pre-employment checks and ongoing annual health checks for anyone in mining or industries where there is a form of risk. Yeah. How are you looking to deliver that experience in a way where your employees have a sense of autonomy and agency and some individualized choice around who they go to for those checks?
Yeah.
Our solution is one of the only ways to deliver that.
Mm. How does it work? Think about logistics for a second. In terms of the, you know, limiting the, or focusing the utility of the HealthNow card on healthcare services, how do you determine the healthcare services?
Yeah, totally. So I think, again, coming back to how we landed in this place, I think one of the challenges that other incumbents which operate within in healthcare sectors kind of faces, like whether that be insurance or others, like one environment is that you have to provide your employees with a way to get an expense reimbursement claim. So your employees would then come into a health service, they'll go on access to service, and then retrospectively they'll have to send said claim to an insurance or an organization to then be able to get their funds back. Whereas when you think around our platform using the existing payment infrastructure, you're then able to give your employees the experience where they can have funds on the card, go and tap that card on a platform on the terminal, and then using existing MasterCard rails, that will be accepted. The kind of the special secret sauce behind it all is that our platform, our technology, within that window of when you dip or tap your card, will then be able to ingest what that terminal or where that terminal is, and then subsequently we will see that it's a specific doctor or healthcare provider, and we will only accept it if it's within the service sectors that the employer has agreed to fund.
Yeah, right. I guess there's you know, benefit on both sides there in terms of from the end user's perspective, or from the patient side, having that confidence that they can, you know, keep going back to those particular healthcare providers, but also from the provider side, being part of that network would be advantageous too, I imagine, as well. So
yeah, so I guess double clicking there, the beauty of our platform is that we don't even need a network of providers anymore. So I mean, how many providers can operate without an FPOS terminal in today's environment? None. Yeah, so exactly. As long as they have an FPOS terminal and they have an acquiring bank, which all of them will need to have, and with that acquiring bank, they've, in the case of a doctor, they have the merchant category code of 8011. If an employer so chose to provide funds to their employee and allowed them to spend it at the doctor, that doctor, every single doctor across Australia and New Zealand internationally, will have 8011 as their merchant category code, and that card will work against an 8011 FPOS terminal.
So you're seeing a particular opportunity in Australia for this type of service?
Yeah, indeed. So I think speaking to our progress across New Zealand, you know, we've got the likes of the Ports of Tauranga, we've got GHD, which is a large-scale distributed team of 600-plus employees. We've got other organisations with thousands of staff. Like, I just think, again, noting that Australia is bigger and more distributed, and you think around the challenges that people leaders have and how they're looking to deliver health and well-being benefits, and then you kind of overlay in Again, to your point, right, like you said, if you had asked me 10 years ago, I would have said, yeah, it's interesting, but would people have moved with it? You think around the regulatory environment and where it's going, there is a responsibility for employers to have participation within their employees' healthcare and health outcomes. So I think it's the right time for us to make that step. I also think that for health providers, you know, having us come to market and us be successful is going to be beneficial. It means that there's more free and active cash flow within the health system, and it's going to be employer driven and employer supported, which then means that when your patients are standing there trying to access healthcare, they're not just looking at their own bank account to see whether they can afford it. They're going to go to their Health Now account that has their employer contributed funds and be like, oh, look, like I've got this money that isn't going to be a burden for me to spend to get what I need, which leads to obviously patients coming earlier, better long-term health outcomes, and just a better environment.
The Talking Health Tech podcast has evolved a lot over the years, all based on audience feedback. Now I need your help. Yes, you, to shape the future of this show. Between now and the end of June, we're running our biggest campaign to date in order to understand what makes the global healthcare ecosystem tick. Last time we ran our Talking Health Tech audience survey, we learnt 40% of our audience are clinicians, 77% of our audience tune in for professional development and market awareness, 8% of people listen to Talking Health Tech for competitor profiling, and only 2% of people listen to the podcast to fall asleep. And this time around, I can't wait to find out about your preferences for audio versus video content, which topics we should dive into more, preferences for hosts and formats and geographical reach and so much more. And don't worry, we'll be sharing all the insights once all the responses are collected as well. So if you're a supporter of Talking Health Tech and you can spare 5 or 10 minutes, please complete our 2024 audience survey. And to say thanks for your input, everyone who completes the survey goes into the draw to win a share of $1,000 worth of credits towards THT Plus membership. Go to talkinghealthtech.com/survey or the links in the show notes of this episode as well.
Yeah, I think about it, even in speaking to the general public, that the decision in Australia in particular around taking out alternate forms of coverage on healthcare, like private health insurance, a while ago, if you said, "Oh, I'm not taking out private health insurance," that seemed almost irresponsible. But then it's becoming an increasing conversation about, well, like, can I afford this?
Totally.
And like, what coverage do I have? So, are you thinking that this is something that would work, like, against the private health insurers, or does it tie in nicely?
So, I think. I mean, my opinion is that I'm yet to find out what the health insurance companies think of us yet. But I think that we are collaborative. You know, I think when you, let's use an alternative situation, like with car insurance, right? You have car insurance, so when you crash your car, the unforeseeable happens, that you can get your car repaired. You don't have car insurance to pay for your warrant of fitness or for you to get a new set of tires.
Yeah.
And so it's when I come looking at day-to-day healthcare and how the health insurances view your day-to-day healthcare, you start to clip on that day-to-day coverage when you get to the top level of products. And so if we let health insurance play in the space that they play in best, which is, you know, where the actuaries are measuring risk and they're distributing the risk across a large pool of people, and then they have solutions, or we have solutions like us, or maybe there's another incumbent which comes to play in a similar space, which is primarily focused on delivering day-to-day health outcomes and day-to-day health access through employer-funded mechanisms, then everybody in the value chain wins. I mean, in short, right? Like, if we're successful and people have better access to short-term health with better long-term health outcomes, we're going to see a reduction in claiming.
Yeah.
I think, just again, to the Australian lens, I think it's also quite challenging, right? Because there's tax incentives at certain levels if you've got your own private health insurance. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you are driven naturally to have some level of cover.
I can only imagine that, having the potential for the private health insurers to reduce the number of claims and things like this, but still be able to partner and provide services, that makes a lot of sense. So that's really cool. Looking on the Health Now website and chatting before, you know, the people that you've got involved in terms of the business and even since we've last spoken in terms of advisory and board and things like that, it's worth a mention because there's some serious players in there. So like you're continuing to grow. It's in looking at other industries and other technologies, it must be an exciting time working with these, you know, key advisors and board members to build this thing.
Yeah, agreed. I think, you know, as a young gun trying to do something meaningful in the world, it's important to, or irrespective, you know, lots of different people doing different things. But if you're trying to go after a big prize and make an instrumental change that, you know, something you'll be able to talk to your grandchildren about, it's important to surround yourself with the people that have got that know-how and been there, done that experience. And I've always spent a lot of time, you know, similar to the relationship that we've built, trying to foster relationships with people that have got that experience. And over time, it's a slow burn, but it does pay dividends. And the Health Now story, across the course of my prior background and then moving into Health Now, I've been able to build strong relationships that are now starting to come to fruition in the form of partnership and employment and so on, and board positions. And so as you kind of rightly alluded to, we've got some pretty serious names in the way of John Joyce, who is the CFO of IBM for the whole world, who holds a board position in Health Now. We've got the ex-CEO of ACC. We've got the likes of Anna Mowbray from Zuru, who is one of our largest shareholders and cornerstone funders. And then internally within the business now, we've got a group of just really great people in our executive team that have come from, you know, building businesses like 90 Seconds and working in instrumental roles with a company called Cover Genius. And then my CFO has built New Zealand's third largest childcare company in 6 or 7 years and exited that at an effective rate. And more recently, we've been extremely fortunate to bring over a man by the name of Tim Boyle, who was one of the founders of Whip Around. That was a New Zealand startup that then effectively launched into the American market and the trucking maintenance software B2B SaaS business space, and they did a really great thing there. And again, being able to bring that knowledge in-house, and for me to be able to learn from those individuals at such a young age, to then be able to try and fortify my learning and my capability over time, is going to be a beautiful thing.
It's cool, man. I'm looking forward to watching that play out. And then just lastly, thinking about that future and what you got on the cards, you know, you've talked about the offering and all of that, but what are you expecting, or what can we expect from Health Now over the next 6, 12, 24?
Yeah, so next 6 months are extremely exciting for us. We are functionally moving into the Australian market with our B2B SaaS platform, where employers are able to participate in their employees' health card, health using the Health Now accounts and the Health Now MasterCard. I'll be personally looking to make a move in first or middle to late first quarter or early second. And then we'll continue to try and look internationally at the American market, as we've got some boots on the ground and some light touch roots there. I think with respect to level of impact and number of customers on board, we're pretty certain that by the back end of next year, we'll be looking to have 40,000 people across the Australian New Zealand market with Health Now cards in hand. And hopefully, you know, when you start to think around the amount of money that's going to be contributed from those employers into those Health Now cards, the level of impact and influence and accessibility of healthcare that's going to come off the back of that is just going to be instrumental again for individuals and communities and employers. And from there, you know, if we can, once we start being able to show that there is a direct line between contribution value into these health wallets and organizational performance, I think there's only one way that the business and our industry will go, and that's to start funding and putting more into healthcare.
And if there's anyone that's listening to this, because a lot of us are employers, regardless of the industry that you're in, like, well, who's the best fit in terms of exploring about, you know, giving a Health Now card to their employees and how should they, or even if they're interested in partnerships and learning more,
Ideal customer persona?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, right? You know, for us, the people that we look to target are normally organizations of a minimum 100 staff with respect to our outreach. And that's, I mean, frankly, as everyone listening to this show will know, that there's a cost to acquire a customer, and under a certain level, it becomes a little bit less economical for us. But we do like to kind of work with employers of all different sizes, understanding that for us, it's about making health accessible. We do find that the employers that seem to have the most kind of appreciation of why this makes sense are the ones that have been susceptible to the traditional benefit experience, where, you know, historically, before Health Now, if you wanted to provide your employees with benefits, you would appoint someone within your organization to go and have a range of conversations with insurance providers, OC health assessments, EAP providers, maybe a gym down the road, so on and so forth. And then they would come back and have to have that conversation internally. And maybe historically, you would then pick three or four, put that on the internet to get lost. Whereas in reality, right, like if you break it down, these all have economic values.
Yeah.
Just grab the economic value, put it in one place, give them a card, tell them where it can be spent, and then let them like operate, let your employees operate with autonomy and agency and certainty, irrespective of where they're placed geographically. So I think in short, the way to answer that question is large employers with lots of staff, with low and middle income roles, where they're highly diverse and highly distributed, because no one knows your employees like they do.
Yeah. Got it. Excellent. Well, we'll put the details for Health Now. It's already available on the Talking Health Tech website with your directory listing there as THG Plus members. And I'm looking forward to keeping the conversation going within the community. And I guess see you when you move across to Australia then more. And that'll be great. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Hey, before you go, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and you enjoyed this show, write a nice review and give us 5 stars in your favorite podcast player. At the time of this recording, we've been stuck on 65 reviews on Apple. I'm not sure what that's about, but if this show's part of your regular routine and you've listened this far, it'd mean the world to me if you could take 2 minutes and write a nice review, give us 5 stars. It does more than just boost my ego. It also helps us climb the charts and reach more people. Thanks so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Talking Health Tech. Make sure you like and subscribe and share this episode with someone who might find it valuable. For more information and resources about healthcare innovation, visit talkinghealthtech.com.